The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Same day, January 8th, Milley gets a call from Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi. We've heard about this call, but Woodward and Costa got an exclusive transcript of the call. Pelosi has the same concerns that Milley does. The phone call is dramatic. It is blunt. And Pelosi wants Milley to reassure her that the nuclear weapons are safe. And this is the exchange. Pelosi, who knows what he might do? He's crazy. You know he's crazy. He's been crazy for a long time. So don't say you don't know what his state of mind is. He's crazy. And what he did yesterday, meaning actually 2 days ago, January 6th, is further evidence of his craziness. General Milley says, Madam Speaker, I agree with you on everything. Milley reassures Pelosi on the call, but when he gets off, he thinks to himself, she's right, and he decides to take this extraordinary action.
So he has this call with the Speaker in right. which she is agitated and essentially reinforces his concerns.
Correct.
He's seeing this intelligence and actually having a back channel. That's extraordinary. Back channel with his counterpart in China saying, calm down. Everything will be okay. And he decides to call this extraordinary meeting. Take us inside.
Right. And by the way, according to Woodward and Costa, Milley never tells the president about these back channel calls.
That's the highest ranking member of the U.S. military taking his marching orders. This was during the Trump presidency, right at the tail end. In the case of one call anyway, the one on January 8th. But then there was another phone call to this Chinese counterpart back in October, even before the election, even before they stole the election. So there he is at the end of the Trump presidency, the highest ranking member of the military taking his marching orders from Nancy Pelosi, San Francisco's own, a U.S. congresswoman. He's taking his orders from her and not from the commander in chief. These commentators say it's extraordinary. I think they said that three or four times in that clip we just played. I have another word for it, and it's called treason. You're listening to Stephen Flurry, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you tuning in. We broadcast live every day at our website, thetrumpet.com, and on CRN Digital Talk Radio. Lots and lots to get to on today's program. Consider for a moment, I mean, Milley is still there, right? And we know a lot more about him now in September than we did back in January. We've seen him presiding over the evacuation, the disastrous evacuation from Afghanistan. You want to talk, going back to that phone call, let's talk about who is crazy, at least in the unconstitutional sense, or abandoning American allies sense, or abandoning your own citizens even. This is a man who said that the Bagram airfield, it wasn't really strategically important. So let's just pull out and leave all of the equipment behind. That's what they did. He headed up the operation. Pull out the military first. Before the people. Before the citizens. Pull out the military first. Then, just kind of pull back to the Kabul airport. Then you know an attack, a suicide attack is coming on the Kabul airport. You know it's most likely going to happen at the Abbey Gate. And what do? Nothing. You send your soldiers out there to be blown to bits. That's what they did just a few weeks ago. Then to retaliate, they order a drone strike that kills 10 Afghans, a family, 7 children. And that man, Mark Milley, he says it's a righteous strike. Oh, yes. He saved lives. That's the way he sees it. And then worst of all, to abandon your own U.S. citizens, to leave them not just stranded, not just trapped, to leave them as hostages in Afghanistan. And yet here he was back. And for one, we'll get to the media montage later. But through it all in Afghanistan, as I've reported here, you have some in the media that actually were shocked. The communists in the media shocked at how disastrous this really was. And yet, the news of this treasonous act, it breaks yesterday. We knew some about it back in January, but there's a lot more now that's being reported. And as soon as it breaks, what do they do? Well, because it was January 8th, and because it was October 30, and because the bad orange man was in the White House, obviously the problem was Trump. And Mark Milley, he was a genius. He was sacrificing everything for his country. Now he's a hero. It's unbelievable. The New York Times, this is from, let's go back to January 8th, when the news began to break. You think about all of the pernicious activity going on during these transitions. We've talked a lot before about January of 2017. Obama setting up Donald Trump before he left office. You want to talk about some treasonous action? Go back to January 2017. Then you have Donald Trump on his way out of the White House. And look at what these people were doing. Nancy Pelosi, too. People want to say it's just Mark Milley. He should resign. He should be court-martialed or whatever. He should be tried for treason. What about all the people involved in this with him? What about everyone at every level of the Pentagon, it seems, that knew about this? Nancy Pelosi sent a note to her Democratic colleagues following her discussions with Milley. And then this book that comes out with the big revelation yesterday, it's based on 200 anonymous sources. Now, they've got to stay anonymous, I guess, because they don't want the deep state coming after them. How many people knew this was going on? Answer, everyone. Everyone. They all cover for each other. Then it comes out, and shockingly, the communist news media, they flip right back on the side of these communists that are destroying America, and they put Milley up on a pedestal and say that, well, he had to do it. I mean, Donald Trump was dangerous. Donald Trump was unhinged. We had to take all these unconstitutional actions. Listen to this from January 8th. This is the New York Times. We'll give you the reporting of the New York Times on January 8th, and then we'll give you what the New York Times reported this morning. January 8th, it says, Pelosi pressed Pentagon on safeguards to prevent Trump from ordering military action. But short of the cabinet invoking the 25th Amendment or impeaching and convicting the president, it would be unconstitutional to defy legal orders from the commander-in-chief, experts note. So Pelosi calls the Pentagon. She's talking to Milley. She's saying, hey, you've got to stop him from his constitutional duties and or authority. And the New York Times at that time said, yeah, well, they talked about it, but then concluded, so say experts, that it was unconstitutional. It says in a phone call to the chairman, General Mark Milley, Ms. Pelosi appeared to be seeking to have the Pentagon leadership essentially remove Mr. Trump from authorities as the commander-in-chief. That could be accomplished by ignoring the president's orders or slowing them by questioning whether they were issued legally. So in other words, ignore the orders from the commander-in-chief or stonewall it. Slow it down. Question its legality. This was all on January 8th. It says in a note to her Democratic majority, so she wrote this then to the Democrats in Congress. Ms. Pelosi said she had asked General Milley about available precautions for preventing an unstable president from initiating military hostilities or accessing the launch codes and ordering a nuclear strike. I mean, none of this was going on. Donald Trump wasn't, as he said last night in an interview, it's preposterous to think that he was even engaged in this kind of thinking or activity. But leaving that aside, What about the authority that he has as president? He's duly elected. And he won by a much larger majority the second time around. But you know what they did with respect to November 3rd? And here's what's going on January 8th, all because of what? Well, January 6th, you see, the worst attack on America ever. I mean, worse than 9/11, worse than Pearl Harbor. I mean, this is worse than the Civil War. That was the narrative. And they used it as an excuse to blot out Donald Trump and his supporters. Remember, Twitter banned him on January 8th. That's all that was going on. And we'll come later to some of the things we were talking about on this program. January 7th, 8th, January 12th and 13th. All following the January 6th so-called insurrection. The fake insurrection. You heard that here first. And now you look back on it and you see the plot for what it was. You see the treason. You see the coup. She wrote this letter to her Democrat colleagues. It says, the situation of this unhinged president could not be more dangerous, says Pelosi, and we must do everything that we can to protect the American people from his unbalanced assault on our country and our democracy. See, she's got it exactly backwards, doesn't she? An assault on democracy. Who's assaulting democracy here? Donald Trump was voted into office. Donald Trump was the commander in chief. It says here, but legally, the military cannot deny the president access to the codes unless the 25th Amendment has been activated. As long as President Trump is commander in chief, then one of the highest priority missions the military has is maintaining connectivity between him and the nuclear arsenal, and I expect that is what they are doing and will continue to do until Inauguration Day. They're quoting from some expert that says, look, he has the constitutional authority, and I'm sure he's going to maintain control over the nuclear arsenal until he's out of office. And, of course, now we know that didn't happen. It was Mark Milley who had control of the nuclear arsenal, and he made sure the underlings that they were reporting to him. When it's him and those under him, the chain of command, very important, you see. But with respect to the chain of command that flows from the President of the United States, that doesn't matter at all. Even Alexander Vindman says that he should resign. He's the one that, he was the whistleblower, so-called, the whistleblower that came forward on the perfect phone call to Ukraine. Even he says that Milley shouldn't be able to get away with this. What does that tell you about just how egregious this is? As I say, this is not extraordinary. This is treason, pure and simple. It says here, this is a good example of people asking the military to solve a problem that is not the military's to solve, this expert says. So the military, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, they don't have the authority. They're an extension of the executive branch. Mark Milley at that time was Donald Trump's chief military advisor. That's all that he was. He doesn't have his finger on the nuclear codes or buttons. That's the president's responsibility. Now, fast forward to the New York Times this morning. Fears that Trump might launch a strike prompted General to reassure China, book says. So now we know more about not just the conversations Milley had with Pelosi, but he also called his Chinese counterpart, and he didn't tell Donald Trump. Think about, again, how many people have known about this for months and months and months. The book by those two journalists, it's relying on 200 anonymous sources. Pelosi, she wrote the letter to her Democratic colleagues back in January. There was reporting on these discussions. I just read it to you from the New York Times at the time. There were other reports as well. Think about what could have been revealed by an aggressive journalist, or even worse, think about what was just concealed covered up by these journalists that saw Donald Trump as Hitler, of course, and Mark Milley just doing his job to save the country. It says here, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff twice called his Chinese counterpart in the final months of the Trump administration to reassure him that Donald J. Trump had no plans to attack China in an effort to remain in power and that the United States was not collapsing. He had to call him in October. You know why? Because Donald Trump was saying that the flu came from China, came from that lab, came from Wuhan. Donald Trump was saying China's to blame, not me, for this pandemic. And Milley, he takes it upon himself on October 30th, before the election steal even, to call the Chinese authorities, to call the CCP and say, look, we're not going to attack you. Don't worry about Donald Trump's rhetoric. It says, things may look unsteady. Well, it quotes him talking to this Chinese official heading up the Chinese military, General Li Zuching. And that was in some of that soundbite I just played for you. It says here, similar to other media reports and books released since Mr. Trump left office, the book details how Mr. Trump's presidency essentially collapsed in its final months in office, particularly after the election loss and the start of his campaign to deny the results. Top aides, listen to this, including General Milley, Defense Secretary Mark Esper, Attorney General William Barr, yes, sir, William Barr as well, became convinced that they needed to take drastic measures to stop him from trampling on American democracy or setting off an international conflict. So they had to take some action. Do you see all the pieces coming together now? Do you see how January 6th was a setup? Do you see why the FBI had infiltrated those protesters along with Antifa? Do you see why law enforcement officials just opened the doors and let them come right on in? Do you see why Pelosi and company put up razor wire around Washington, D.C. to make it seem like it was the worst attack ever? It's all part of the plan. It's all part of the coup. We've got to stamp out the resistance. They know we stole the election, so we've just got to blot them out. And if we can tie anyone together with the so-called insurrection on January the 6th, then maybe we can just drown out the noise with respect to the election steal. We don't want anyone to see those ballots. We don't even want anyone to bring it up, so we'll blot them out of Twitter. Michelle Obama on January 7th, she's so shocked from January 6th. Nothing last summer shocked her. None of the BLM Antifa stuff shocked her. But January 6th did, and so she sends a letter to social media, says, you got to ban Trump. And they did. This is all happening. January 6th, Michelle Obama's the puppet master. Remember, she sends the letter on January the 7th. And on January the 8th, here comes Jack Dorsey and Zuckerberg, all of them. There's, hey, we'll ban, sure. We've got to save democracy. It's all part of the rolling coup, isn't it? It's not just one treasonous actor here. It's not just Milley. We'll come to what the trumpet has been saying now for years. For years. The Trumpet magazine, tomorrow's news today. You get the headlines of tomorrow today. And now you have all these commentators who have some sense, Tucker Carlson and others, saying, hey, this is treason. Where did you hear that first? Where did you hear it first? God gives us this insight. We're not taking credit for it ourselves. We're just human beings looking into the sure word of Bible prophecy and with the help and support of God and His Holy Spirit, His power, the power that opens our minds to the truth. If we'll turn to God in repentance and faith, if we'll look to God as our, not just our creator, our educator, our ruler, says here, she goes now into the discussion. Well, let me just back up. Later that day, General Milley spoke to Speaker Pelosi, who was growing increasingly concerned Mr. Trump would lash out and use military force. This is bad, but who knows what he might do, Mrs. Pelosi said. He's crazy. You know, he's crazy. He's been crazy for a long time. This is Pelosi's assessment. You know, she's carrying off another sham impeachment at this time as well. And then she's talking to the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, saying he's crazy, he's crazy. You got to stop him. You've got to keep him from getting control of the nuclear arsenal. You, Mr. Milley. I know nobody voted you into office, but look, you're a deep state actor, if ever there was one. Never really been involved in combat. Forget about that. You're heading up the military. Just take control of it yourself. You know he's crazy. This was going on in January. Can you believe this? This was going on in the United States of America. Can you believe it? Well, yes, you can. If you've been a trumpet reader for any time now, you know what's going on. He's crazy. You know he's crazy. He's been crazy for a long time. So don't say you don't know what his state of mind is. Madam Speaker, I agree with you on everything. That was Milley's response. Mr. White Rage. He agrees with Nancy Pelosi on everything. He's in charge of the military. This is the Nancy Pelosi of the military. And he just helped himself to the nuclear arsenal. Never mind the Constitution. It says here, the one thing I can guarantee is that as chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, I want you to know that this in your heart of hearts, I can guarantee you 110% that the military, use of military power, whether it's nuclear or a strike in a foreign country of any kind, we're not going to do anything illegal or crazy. She says, well, what do you mean, illegal or crazy? I can give you my word, says Milley. The best I can do is give you my word, and I'm going to prevent anything like that in the United States military. I will stop him, says the man who presided over the Afghanistan evacuation. Says the man who stranded Americans. Says the man who sent the Marines out into the crowds on the day they knew the suicide attack was coming. Says here, after speaking to Ms. Pelosi, General Milley convened a meeting. Listen to this. Listen to how many people are involved here. General Milley convened a meeting in a war room at the Pentagon with the military's top commanders, telling them he wanted to go over the longstanding procedures for launching a nuclear weapon. The general reminded the commanders that only the president could order such a strike and that General Milley needed to be directly involved. So he says there, okay, the president is one who orders the strike, but you need to come through me, fellas. Let's remember, you've got to come through me. Okay, I'm General Milley. I agree with everything Nancy Pelosi says or thinks. Says, if you get calls, no matter who they're from, there's a process here, there's a procedure. No matter what you're told, you do the procedure. You do the process. And I'm part of that procedure. Wow, what a stunning revelation. What a stunning revelation. This man, speaking of crazy and failure and treason. But now the bad orange man comes back into the storyline. And what do the media do? They turn on a dime, of course. Now they're defending Milley. Now Milley's the greatest. Now, I mean, he's doing extraordinary things. He's saving America. Listen to these propagandists in the media from yesterday, clip 7.
What do you think of General Mark Milley having to do basically this end run around the commander-in-chief?
General Milley took some very prudent measures. The problem is that we're talking about a commander-in-chief that, as the book describes, was so far off the rails that General Milley felt concern about that. But what he did was ensure the guardrails were in place. So I give him high marks for this based on what's described in the book.
He felt he couldn't trust Trump and that he needed to take any and all necessary precautions to prevent him from doing something dangerous.
I do think that history will likely regard General Milley as an honorable man, but I don't blame General Milley for any of this, in as much as I blame Donald Trump
But it seems that he really understood the danger Trump represented and everything we've learned about him after that moment.
This is just common sense. It's called public safety. As for most Americans, we are glad that General Milley stood up and told the Chinese, the United States of America is just fine. Things get a little chaotic in democracies. Don't try to take advantage of us. And don't even think that we're going to provoke anybody and start a war.
So again, I think we ought to be fortunate. We got this Princeton grad, tremendous combat officer, extremely intelligent, law-based, trying to safeguard the transition to a duly elected President Biden administration.
Are you so stupid? I just got to ask, are you so stupid? Are you so ignorant of how things work that you don't know that from time to time generals talk to generals?
Wow. Well, for one, I didn't know that Milley went to Princeton. I mean, that changes everything. He's a Princeton grad? He is an honorable man. He's a prudent man. He's going to be getting high marks from this. History is going to smile upon Mark Milley. Mark White Rage Milley, who graduated from Princeton. Guilty of treason. That's what this is. That tweet from Vindman says, if this is true, General Milley must resign. He usurped civilian authority, broke chain of command, and violated the sacrosanct principle of civilian control over the military. It's an extremely dangerous precedent. You can't simply walk away from that. That's Vindman, who despises Donald Trump. He's been in the military. He knows a little something about the chain of command. He knows if it happened on a lower level, boy, there'd be court martials flying all over the place. A prudent man, an honorable man, say the media. I liked how Joe Scarborough there at the end talked about, well, hey, this is a top general talking to another top general. Happens all the time. Are you stupid? Don't you realize this goes on all the time? Yeah, well, tell that to General Flynn. He had a conversation with a Russian ambassador in Washington, D.C. Lost his job, was set up by Jim Comey, went broke during a year of litigation, harassed by judges. One conversation, and then a setup from the FBI, from Barack Obama's FBI. They set him up. Comey bragged later. Yeah, sent a couple of agents over. They were disorganized and unprepared, and we just set them up. It was beautiful. It was beautiful. And then here comes Scarborough saying, are you stupid? General Milley calling the general over the Chinese army, the communist army in China? There's no problem with that. In the Saving America article, this is from 2018, so it's a few years old. But my father's talking about this investigation, this harassment of Donald Trump and his administration. It says here, it's the president's right to receive a full briefing of all ongoing investigations. So he's talking about, again, this transition period the last time around, 2017, and how that Obama was setting him up, and how that Jim Comey was working to keep the investigation going, presenting it as if it's a counterintelligence thing. In fact, it was spying on Trump. That's what they were getting away with. It says, if corrupt agents can withhold vital intelligence from the president and even spy on him, what can they do to you? Yes, that's something Mr. Trump said quite often at his campaign rallies and such. If they can do this to me, think about the power they have. Think about how they can abuse this power. Think about what they can do to you. Just an ordinary nobody. I mean, we just left Americans behind in Afghanistan. And these same people, including Milley, they just want to brush it aside. Blinken, same thing. Well, we really can't even know what's or if they've even been mistreated over there. But look, this was an extraordinary operation, this evacuation. We got 100,000 people out there that we know nothing about, but we got 100,000 people. This is unprecedented. How can you brag, said one of the senators yesterday. How can you brag about an operation that left Americans behind? My father said this in the article in 2018. Merriam-Webster defines treason as the offense of attempting by overt acts to overthrow the government of the state. So, who's guilty of treason here? Little grandma that took a selfie in Congress because someone let her in the door? It says, you don't have to know a lot about government to know that attempting to remove a lawfully elected president from office using unverified propaganda is treason of the highest level. That's what this is. What's now being reported about January of this past year, it's the same thing. Treason at the highest level. It says here, the entire Trump-Russia investigation is based on a hoax. Later on it says, but what has been revealed is a tremendous amount of law-breaking by bureaucrats in intelligence and law enforcement. The previous president filled America's law enforcement agencies with treasonous agents. Speaking about Antiochus, Barack Obama put all of these treasonous agents in place. He had what is known as the deep state. Tucker Carlson last night, he said, you know, I've never really liked to use that term deep state. It just seems kind of a little bit wacky, maybe a little bit too much conspiracy theory. Then he goes through what's all been revealed about Mark Milley. He says, look, this is worse. This is worse than a deep state. This is treason. Wow. It says here, and the media aided and abetted the whole process. The more stories that come out, the clearer this ugly reality becomes. This is corruption, my father said, on a deep level, so deep that most people won't even believe it. Well, I think they're beginning to believe it now. A few years ago, maybe not. But the corruption runs so deep. Most people can't even believe it's happened or it's happening. This is another one from an article in August 2019. My father said they wanted to overthrow the law and government of the land. Robert Mueller, along with his cadre of unelected, extremely biased lawyers, were attempting to overthrow the man who received the votes of 63 million people. That is treason. Yeah, he gets 63 million votes, and he probably got closer to 80 million the second time around. But he was cheated out of it. They stole it. Five swing states just shut down. They shut down the election process deep into the night because they were so far behind. They were behind by about 800,000 votes in Pennsylvania alone. And so everything was shut down. And then in come the ballots, pristine ballots, unfolded ballots. And they're coming out of all of these Democrat machines. Philadelphia, Atlanta, Milwaukee, Detroit. They stole it and they're doing everything that they can to keep people from viewing the ballots. Look at how they had a total meltdown over the audit this past summer in Arizona. And now the subpoenas are flying out in Pennsylvania as well. Just to be able to view the ballots, and they fight. They fight and fight and fight against it. No, you can't look at the ballots. If you want to look at ballots, you must be an insurrectionist. You must be part of this January 6th movement. We went back and looked at just the headlines or the titles of those programs that we put together immediately following the so-called insurrection of January 6th. January 7th, the title was The Siege and the Fake Siege. Okay, let's talk about the real siege and the fake one. The day after that, January 8th, The left is using the Capitol Hill violence as a pretext to amass more power. That was on January the 8th. That's on the day that Milley's got his conversation going with Nancy Pelosi. That's the same day that Pelosi calls Milley and says, look, you've got to get more power. You've got to get control of the nuclear arsenal now. You've got to stop Trump from taking any kind of action militarily. And then she was busy with her actions in Congress, where the Republicans were just basically shut out. A sham impeachment, part two. Wow. That was a Friday program. Then the Monday show, January 11th, the radical left begins its cleanse of the Trump movement. What do they want to do ultimately? Blot out the name of Israel. They want to destroy Israel, even the name. And so here they use this so-called insurrection to begin the purge, to begin the cleanse. Get Trump off Twitter, get him off of Facebook, off of social media, and go after his followers. 570 of them arrested, some of them rotting in jail to this day for trespassing. The day after that, January 12th, the title of the program, The Trumpet Daily, The Real Coup. The Real Coup. Here's a clip from that particular program, clip 8. It says here, this is from Revolver, real coups, talking about a coup. Where does the real coup happen? Yesterday I said, you know, where are the real authoritarian tactics? Where are the real tyrants and fascists? This says, where's the real coup? It says, real coups are not clumsy mob attacks adjacent to lawmakers. Real coups, above all, are about control. Listen to this. Control of communications, control of bureaucracy, and above all, control of military power. And in the past few days, it is President Trump's enemies who have seized control of all of these things. They have control. The radical left, it has control of the big tech. It has control of the media. Look at the narrative that just continues to pound people day in and day out on CNN. Looking at January 6th as if this was the worst moment in American history. That's from our show on January 12th. 8-9 months ago. Set looks a lot different, by the way. A lot of things have changed in 8-9 months, even here at the Trumpet Daily. But going back to January 12th, let's talk about, as that program was titled, let's talk about the real coup. Who has control of communications? Who has control of the bureaucracy? Who has control of the Pentagon? Who has control of big tech? The media narrative? Who has, you'll notice there, I asked who has control of the military. That would be Barack Obama. That would be the deep state, whatever it is that you want to call it. There are, as I say, a lot of treasonous actors. Now, fast forward to last night. This was Tucker Carlson's opening monologue, clip 1.
According to reporting this summer, in the days after last November's election, Mark Milley, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, held a meeting with senior military officials at the Pentagon. Milley wanted to inform them of what he described as a serious threat to national security, a threat so grave that it imperiled, quote, the stability of the republic. That threat, Milley said, was the sitting president of the United States. Donald Trump had dared to question the election results. For this, Milley explained, the U.S. military might be required to use physical force against the president. We're the guys with guns, Milley said. Apparently, he'd been preparing for this moment. Milley had similar conversations with the director of the CIA, Gina Haspel, as well as with the head of the NSA, Paul Nakasone. He'd also spoken directly to Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi, Donald Trump's chief political rivals. Now, according to a new book by Bob Woodward and Bob Costa, Milley apparently went even further than that. On October 30th of last year, Woodward and Costa report, Milley called his counterpart in China, that's a general called Li Zhocheng. Milley did not tell his boss, the president, about this call, either before he made it or after. Here was Milley's message for the Chinese military. Quote, General Li, I want to assure you that the American government is stable and everything is going to be okay. We are not going to attack or conduct any kinetic operations against you. And then reportedly, Milley said this, quote, General Li, you and I have known each other for 5 years. If we're going to attack, I'm going to call you ahead of time. It's not going to be a surprise. Let that sink in. Quote, if we're going to attack, I'm going to call you ahead of time. It's not going to be a surprise. So according to this account, our country's top defense official secretly colluded with our chief military rival to undercut the elected president of the United States. How would you describe that? Deep state is not strong enough. That's treason. It is a crime.
Deep state's not strong enough, is it? This is treason. And so you go back over the last several years. You go back to 2013 with the America Under Attack being distributed for the first time. America Under Attack. I saw a headline just exactly like this with respect to 9/11 following that attack 20 years ago. America came under fire. Those Twin Towers came crashing down because of those terrorists. Well, this is another attack. And it's been building for many, many years now. And now it's not even really in hiding anymore. It's right out in the open. It's right out in the open to the point where the propagandists in the media say, hey, we should be praising this man. What an honorable man, this Princeton graduate who defied the president of the United States, who undercut the president of the United States, who called the CCP and said, look, if there's ever an attack on China, I'll call you and warn you about it. This is the chairman of the Joint Chiefs? Wow. Tucker went on to say, clip two.
And apparently Mark Milley is not the only person who was implicated in this crime. Others knew it was happening as it did. Our intelligence agencies almost certainly heard Mark Milley's call. If they can read emails from a cable news show on Fox, what are the chances they were aware that the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff was speaking to a senior Chinese general and what they were saying? Well, chances are about 100%. And yet the NSA did nothing about it. The CIA, meanwhile, was clearly fully on board with this. We are on the way to a right-wing coup, said Gina Haspel. She told Milley that. And in fact, there was a coup in progress, but it did not come from the right. It wasn't brewing in Alabama. Instead, a constellation of unelected government employees, loyal above all to the Democratic Party and to the permanent class in Washington, ignored the United States Constitution. And then they invalidated the votes of tens of millions of American citizens. How'd they do that? Because they invalidated democracy. Democracy doesn't mean anything if the people you elect have no power. And Mark Milley did his best to make certain the elected president had no power.
Just think for a moment, as I've said a couple of times already, how many people knew about this? Like he said, the NSA, if they're gonna tap into General Flynn's conversations, or Donald Trump, as they did all through the Trump years, how many knew about this phone conversation? A phone call coming out of the Pentagon, going straight to Beijing? What did the NSA do? What did the CIA do? Where are the whistleblowers? All of those military men in the meeting with Milley, when he tells them, you go through me. If it's anything as far as military action goes, you go through me. Where are those men? What about all the Democrats that Nancy Pelosi wrote to? What about all the members in the media, the journalists, the propagandists that knew this was going on? Insurrection. Where is the real insurrection? Where is the real coup? It's like Tucker said there was a coup happening. It just wasn't coming from Alabama. One last quote from or clip from his show last night, clip three.
In early January, Woodward and Costa report, Milley called another meeting of senior officials at the National Military Command Center. He informed this group that they reported to him, not to the elected president of the United States. And that's not a small claim. The National Military Command Center controls, among other things, the nuclear weapons inside our missile silos, as well as the nuclear weapons on board our submarines. So Mark Milley was seizing personal control of America's nuclear arsenal. He went around the room and demanded that his officers submit to his authority, not the president's. Milley told them to follow no orders without first consulting him. According to Woodward and Costa, all present in the room agreed to this. So civilian control of the military was over. Mark Milley was in charge. If this is true, it is one of the scariest things that has ever happened in this country. You often hear people say they're worried about authoritarianism coming to America. Well, it's here.
It is here. He's spot on with his opening monologue last night, calling it what it is. And of course, leading the way, you have Donald Trump, which is why they hate him, which is why they want to destroy him. Here's Donald Trump from last night as well, clip 5.
So first of all, if it is actually true, which is hard to believe, that he would have called China and done these things and was willing to advise them of an attack or in advance of an attack, that's treason.
That is treason. The media, they're saying it's extraordinary. These are extraordinary revelations. They're treasonous actions. It's treason. And in talking about, in that same interview, Donald Trump was talking about Joe Biden and then who's really behind the Biden administration. This is clip 6.
You know, he was going to be the great unifier, but he's not a unifier. He's the opposite. He's worse than Obama. Of course, Obama is probably running the government now anyway, according to many.
He's completely right. He is completely right, as he often is. This week we've been talking about government, the coming government of God, righteous rule. We sure need some of that. We had the Feast of Trumpets last week. The Day of Atonement, of course, is tomorrow. God just gives us so much beautiful detail with respect to his plan and how he establishes a righteous government on earth, headed up by Jesus Christ. And it seems every book in the Bible has a little something to say about it. Certainly there are dozens and dozens, hundreds of prophecies that speak to it. The prophesied seed or the seed that would come. As far back as Genesis 3, a coming Savior. And then you roll through the Old Testament, the Psalms and the prophets of old, the minor prophets. Psalm 110 and verse 2, it says, "The Eternal shall send a rod of your strength out of Zion. Rule you, it says, in the midst of your enemies." Isaiah 9:7 says, "There's a throne being prepared for this righteous king to rule from." Moses talked about that coming Messiah in the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 18. Of course, there's all kinds of prophecies in the Old Testament that pertain to the first coming of Christ, but then so many that speak of the second coming. The first coming, of course, happened. It's 2,000 years ago. And now we're living in the last days, the last hour of the last days. And Jesus is about to return to this earth in power and glory. Psalm 86:9, it says, "All nations whom you have made shall come and worship before you, O Eternal, and shall glorify your name." Psalm 67 and verse 4, "Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth." This is the glorious time that's prophesied when the government of God, the kingdom of God, will replace all of the kingdoms of this earth. Can read about that at the end of Revelation 11. Psalm 2, it says, "You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel." This is what it takes, as I've been saying, for God to establish a utopian, a perfect utopia of peace and prosperity on earth. mankind will resist and fight against it. Look at what he's doing. Just to, as my father has said, with respect to these communist movements that will do anything to gain control, to amass power, to oppress the sheeple. The book of Micah, it says, the Lord will reign over Israel in Mount Zion forever. That's in the Minor Prophets. Daniel the prophet, he speaks of Jesus Christ's dominion and how he'll break in pieces and consume all the kingdoms of the earth, just like it says at the end of Revelation 11. Zephaniah the prophet, he said, the Lord your God in the midst of you is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over you with joy. He will rest in his love, it says. He will joy over you with singing. The wonderful world of tomorrow, Mr. Armstrong called it. Haggai the prophet, he said the nations would shake in the lead up to the return of Christ. Zechariah, we read through some of Zechariah 14 the other day. The prophet Zechariah talking about rebellion that would occur in the church in this end time, in these last days, and that then God would send forth his servant, the branch. All of this abominable activity in spiritual Israel, the church, in physical Israel, primarily the United States and Britain, all of these dreadful acts, all of this sickness from within, head to toe. But there is a healing coming. There is going to be health, spiritual health and prosperity and outflowing concern and love. When Jesus Christ returns to this earth to establish God's kingdom on earth, Isaiah the prophet, maybe we can conclude where we did yesterday, those verses in Isaiah 59 and verse, I think it was verse 20, but I can start with a couple of verses here at the start of the chapter since we have a couple minutes. It says in Isaiah 59:1, behold, the Eternal's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities, your sins have separated you from your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. It's not that God is far away from us or that he can't intervene to help us, to save us, to rescue us. But our sins have separated us from God. It's our sinful living that's propped up this great barrier between us and God, and we can't break through until we repent. Until we turn to God. This chapter, Isaiah 59, it talks about our world today. Their feet, verse 7, their feet run to evil. And they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not. You see, there is a way to peace. But we won't go that way. We won't travel that way. God would lead us there. If we would humbly follow along, Mr. Armstrong wrote this, governments promise peace but bring wars. They promise benefits for their people and then extract from the people the cost of the benefits plus excessive costs of government. Government promises are empty. The people are the pawns who fork over the money in order to get a part of it back. We fail to find in human government any knowledge of life's purpose or dissemination of the true values. We just don't see it anywhere in human government. That's why we need God's government. And be assured, God's government is coming. Verse 20, it says here, and the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, says the Eternal. The Redeemer is coming to Zion. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. Don't forget to call for the free literature, The Wonderful World Tomorrow book, if you'd like, 1-866-930-3024. The email address, td@thetrumpet.com.
www.mrmillitarytribune.com. Thanks for joining us today, and we'll see you tomorrow.